This is Katie and Kay. You are tuned into a little half-hour news segment with the Soper Sun, Everything Under the Sun. I'm Will, editor of the Sun. With me in the studio, or I shouldn't say with, running the board today, Megan Tackett, of our trusty reporter.
Bear with me.
Well, we're trying to get her trained up in case I'm not around. She's managed to do it once with some help from Raleigh, so you know, we'll get her there. Also, Lainey Devers, did I get it wrong?
No, you're right.
Okay, she made an expression, and I looked. Okay, our trusty intern, not new. I mean, tell us a little bit just for context. You were involved last year.
So last year I went to Walter School in the Red Fork, and they do sort of an eighth grade capstone project. And I chose for my mentor, John Colson, who worked for The Sun, and now I'm an intern.
Awesome. So, you'll see that byline a few times, hopefully, in the next few weeks here. You started out by covering something kind of student-based, and just for the record, we don't just send our interns to cover students. But on this particular occasion, that was what you were doing. So tell us about what you were up to on Monday, and get a little closer to the microphone if you don't mind.
So I was watching a climate change workshop run by people from CU Boulder, who had a bunch of local kids from just the valley, from like Aspen to Glenwood, mostly middle and high schoolers, and taught a lot about climate change.
So the first day, they're going to show some films at the end of this, right?
Right, yeah, there's going to be a screening on Saturday.
But was the first day just kind of talking about the issues, or?
Yeah, he had a few activities and, experiments that the kids did, but it was a lot of just informing them and seeing where they were with the issues and what they already knew and what they didn't.
Okay, so what did they know? I mean, what sort of answers did you see kids give?
I think the Boulder guy was relatively impressed with the amount that Carbondale kids did know in comparison to other towns, because he travels around a lot, not just in Boulder, and I feel like they were all pretty well educated in the issues in their school and just their home lives in general.
Awesome. How well educated did you feel? I mean, did you feel like you were coming into it knowing what you were getting into?
I don't think I knew nearly as much as I would like to say I did, no. Because I did go to Waldorf, and they definitely have, a focus on climate change issues and that sort of stuff. But he had a lot of very interesting statistics about just, where we will actually be headed if we do everything that we should do, or where we will actually be headed if we don't change, which was interesting.
So let me ask you, as a young person who's going to be living through these statistics,
right,
did you walk away feeling like, okay, there's hope, there's time, there's a way for course correction, or were you just totally doom and gloom when you left?
I felt more hopeful than I had felt when talking about climate change in school or just with peers than I think I usually had. Yeah.
Well, that's promising.
Yeah, it was promising. it definitely did create an interesting tension between youth and climate change, because we will be here.
Yeah, I mean, everybody in this room, I think, counts as youth to some extent.
Yeah. Oh, I hope
Lainey's got us beat, but we'll be hopefully around for a while to see, a lot of those projections are through, 2050, and that's not feeling that far off these days.
No, it is not. No, it is not.
Okay, well, thanks. Lainey, speaking of doom and gloom.
Next transition.
You're potentially joining the journalism world at a time that people don't necessarily have a whole lot of optimism about print. What's your interest there? I mean, why get involved with us old fashioned folks at the Soper Sun?
I think it's always something that I've grown up to care about a lot. Maybe it's the way I was raised. Like my grandfather was heavily involved in the newspaper industry, and so I always read hardcover books. I never had a Kindle or anything. I always had on hand magazines, and I go to school for creative writing now, and we talk a lot about the tension between just what you can do with print based text that you can't do with online journals, which I think is really interesting and I'm really interested in.
Can you talk about that? I'm really curious about what's in academia about that, right?
Well, I mean, obviously online you can have hyperlinks or things that you can't necessarily have in print, but there is something about like the physical space of ads and things, and like being able to turn a page and have a picture on the other side of it rather than scrolling. I think that there is something really powerful to that.
And I guess if I was to pipe in my, what I like about print is you can take it with you in this way that, you know, it's a tangible product, which is great for the author, I have to say, like to see it, you know, sitting around every place, or to see people sitting there reading it is really satisfying. But it's also, before I was a journalist, being able to sit there and read it at the, when I was waiting for my food at a restaurant or something. Yeah, you can do that on your phone, but it's not the same experience somehow.
No, I really like that tactile experience. I like being able to hold something in my hand. And I've always been a kinesthetic learner, too, so I feel like I internalize things better when I'm actually turning the pages and things for what that's worth.
There's a sense of ownership, I think, when you have a physical product for streaming something through a different physical product.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah. That said, I love hyperlinks. I love that I can go on Wikipedia and start on one thing and end up like 6 degrees of separation down the road on a completely different thing. And I could do that with an encyclopedia, but I'd start to look a little bit like a conspiracy theorist as I start hooking things together. So, well, thank you very much. We're glad to have you, and hope you'll find some interesting things to cover. We'll get back to what's on the in the actual paper this week, but on a little tangent, Megan, isn't it fun to be interested in something and just pursue it and be the person who gets to answer those questions?
It is my favorite thing in the world to have that level of audacity to say, hey, I'm with the media, so will you please talk to me? I know that you don't know me from Adam, but you should probably talk to me. And they do. And I'm curious for your experience with this kind of first story in this round of internship. Was it fun or a different dynamic because you were doing a piece that involved interviewing your peers as well?
Yeah, it was very interesting. My family's always called me the nosy one and the curious one. So it's really nice to have people, want to talk to me, or to have leverage for people to talk to me.
Right.
With peers, that was really interesting because I think they were less, I think maybe they were more honest with me because they weren't as intimidated, or I'm not totally sure, but that was a really interesting experience for sure. To be able to like talk to them from like a level where I'm not necessarily an authority figure or above them, but I will get what they have to say out there.
Sure.
I think they really, I appreciated it. I had fun.
That makes sense. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. In this room though, I don't know if you're going to be either the nosy one or the curious one. I have to fight that one out, but no, I that's also a good perspective. The being the person who puts that out there, there's an era in which journalists are often seen as the enemy, it's always nice when people appreciate that you're actually trying to speak for them or find something out on their behalf. I mean, our goal is to sit there and be the viewer for the people who can't be there, whether that's town hall. You know, I had just a lovely evening sitting in the back of the Thompson Park discussion on Tuesday, which, you know, will continue, and I'm sure many listeners may choose to join. Supposedly it'll be on the 26th. We'll see if that happens. It sounds like it'll be, it may be a quick turnaround, and it may be a future board meeting, but that's an issue that's probably going to continue to be aired for some time. It's important to have somebody there who's taking down what folks are saying, even though it's on the public record. I'm guessing most people in Carbondale are more likely to pick up the paper and read the article than spend 3 hours watching the YouTube video of it. That's just a guess. And if that's not the case, please let me know, because I will absolutely just, you know, quit going to the BOT meetings if nobody is taking advantage of what I'm doing. But I'm banking on the assumption that we're doing a service there.
I think that's my favorite part about the role, is you get to wear two very distinct hats. There's the reporter hat, when you are truly reporting on what's happening, versus then the writer cap, where you get to insert a little bit of creativity into, okay, how do I package this in a way that's going to really be a service, that people will read it? And I think that's a cool thing to be able to do.
I totally agree. Although I have to say, sometimes you get whiplash from like, okay, I'm going to cover this really pleasant, fluffy story, and then I'm going to get in and get you know, deal with something sad or upsetting or just controversial. And I have had, you know, I've sat in the back of courtrooms for a murder case and actually covered a story kind of like what you were doing, that CU was, you know, having fun with kids in science on the same day. And that's that's more of a variety than I think most people have in their jobs, for better or for worse. Megan, I think this week you kind of got the fluff. Is that fair to say?
That is
and
very
I don't
fair.
Mean that
no,
in
not
any
in
ways
derogatory.
As, no, this
yeah.
is good stuff. But you got the happy, positive
I did.
Check out our community stuff.
I
so
did.
Tell us about that.
So happy, positive, check out the community kind of thing. I have personally had a lot of wanderlust recently. I keep catching myself eyeing airfare tickets. So it was fun to be able to connect with a family right here in Carbondale that has a cool kind of international backstory. The Hamiltons are this sweet family that have been hosting Mercedes Gual. And she just returned home to Spain, and to not just Spain, to Mallorca, which is a beautiful, beautiful island. It was very, very different for her to go from, you know, this island life to suddenly you're in Carbondale. And she was here throughout the entire school year and did her sophomore year as a Roaring Fork Ram. And it was really neat to talk to her about that experience and just everything you would expect about, you know, going from when she first got here, her English was good and was perfectly adequate for a one-on-one conversation. But when she was in a group setting, it was like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what's going on. Going from the tropical island life to, I guess, the island life, right? To learning how to ski and dealing with winters and snow and going to Vermont for Thanksgiving and just experiencing Thanksgiving and Ben and Jerry's and things. So it was neat to get that perspective, right? But what was really unique about this particular story and why we ran it in the newspaper is because she's not the first one in her family to spend a school year in Colorado, nor even with that particular family member. Jen Hamilton, when she was a sophomore in high school growing up in Denver, Mercedes's mother, Susanna, came and stayed during her senior year of high school and did a year abroad. And Jen and Susanna became very, very close friends. Jen described the relationship at like they felt like sisters, right? And so it was so neat. They always stayed in touch. I mean, for decades. And you know how it is, like staying in touch some years, that just might mean a Christmas card. Mm-hmm. But some years it meant actually going to Spain and seeing her. And it had been more than a decade since she had seen her. She and her, Jen and her family were planning a trip to Europe. So she gets in touch with Susanna and says, hey, I know it's been forever, but if there's any chance we can make this happen, let's do it. And so all of a sudden now, you know, these women are reuniting and introducing each other to their families. And, you know, Mercedes had been considering coming here and following in her family's footsteps and going abroad, but she had some trepidation about not knowing anyone and not fully being 100% fluent in the language yet. And Jen was like, no question, of course we'll host her. And she was able to, through this Flag International program, she was able to, you know, self-place basically. And so it was so, so neat because there was already this family history there. And from Jen's perspective, now all of a sudden she's got a teenage daughter in her house.
That would be a switch up for sure.
It was fun.
I'm curious though, before we move on to your own story, the Ben and Jerry's thing, I don't know, did that make it into the story or is that a side conversation?
Unless you edited it out, I had a quote. I did have a quote from her. I guess Jen and Matthew are the couple that live here in Carbondale, and Matthew's extended family is in Vermont, and they have a tradition where every Thanksgiving they have to have every Ben and Jerry's flavor that they can get their hands on represented at Thanksgiving. It would be your heaven. And so
I'm all for Ben and Jerry's,
right?
Although there are some flavors that I would not necessarily want to be represented there. The reason I bring it up is that, you know, the last time I did a foreign exchange thing, mm-hmm. we also came to the topic of food because the kid that's been staying with the Strouds was from Austria and has a culinary level of interest and he mentioned all the different culinary discoveries he'd made, including Thanksgiving. Actually,
that's awesome.
Sort of a novelty abroad. Mm-hmm. It seems really normal to all of us, but some of the things that get brought up as, you know, ooh, this cool new American food. You know, like we go to France and discover all this, you know, highfalutin stuff, but you come to the United States and Ben and Jerry's or
right. I mean, it really is. You can ranch. Find everything in the U.S. I love it. And I think it's great when exchange students get to be here for Thanksgiving. I think it's the most quintessentially American holiday.
Not the 4th of July.
No, I want to be able to sit around and eat until I hate myself and then put football on in the background.
I think your Thanksgivings are a little different from mine. Laney's not going to pipe in on this one.
We don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Okay, there you go. We got the whole spectrum here. By the way, this is KD&K, commercial-free since 1983. Underwriting on KD&K is an effective way to market your business. Reach your friends and neighbors in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond with KD&K's reasonable underwriting packages. Email Greg at KD&K.org. You're listening to Everything Under the Sun. We're about halfway through our little news segment here with the folks from the Soap or Sun. Just want to remind everybody out there, this is a call-in show. We don't get a whole lot of calls, but if you got stirred up or wanted to discuss something that we've been on about, 963-2976, you know, even if you just, you know, want to hoot and holler about the World Cup, which seems to be the big national news or an international news of the moment, and I have no idea how to connect it to the local
right.
scene in order to put it in the Sun. But I think there's you know, we'll all take a side and decide to. Do you have a team you're backing?
Not yet.
Laney?
I don't. My okay. brother cares.
Someday we'll
I heard
be good
Iran
world citizens.
Iran was playing. Part of me just thinks that's such a novelty. I'm like, what? I kind of want to follow that just to be different.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. You know, back to that travel thing. You know, I spent some time in Italy during the World Cup back in '06, and boy, they were enthusiastic about it. Makes the football playoffs seem like not such a big deal by comparison, because you've got most of the world watching this. So, give us a call, 963-2976. Meanwhile, Megan, tell us about your other story on the same page, also numerically headlined and dealing with a Roaring Fork Ram.
Right. I had two generations of exchange students, and then I went to a singular student who had three letters in three different sports at three different schools, which I thought was very cool. And something that's really unique to, I think, kind of the mountain rural community and culture that we have here too. You know, so I was talking to Sophie Moon, and she just finished her freshman year at Roaring Fork High. As you said, she's a Ram. But she has a different sport throughout the year. She runs track for the Rams and lettered in that as a freshman, and then goes up to Basalt High School and lettered in cross country. And then she goes down to Glenwood Springs, where she not only lettered in swimming, she does both she does a 100 meter breaststroke and a 500 meter freestyle, which is no joke. I mean, endurance is this girl's game, right? But she also qualified for state as a freshman and was the only Ram to go to Glenwood. She said she was about one of five girls that joined Basalt for the cross country team. But she was the only Ram to go down to Glenwood for swimming. But she's been swimming since she was a little girl. That's what she loves. That was her first love, as it were. And, you know, it's just so neat that because we have kind of a rural community here, we have smaller schools. You know, Roaring Fork Rams just graduated a class of 71. I graduated of a class of 384, you know. And it's so neat that you have other schools in such close proximity and that have those kinds of relationships that, hey, you know, Roaring Fork High doesn't have a swimming pool or a swim team. You want to go swim, go down to Glenwood. They'll happily take you on, you know. Oh, there weren't enough students interested to have a cross-country team dedicated out of Roaring Fork High, you know, then, oh, go up to Basalt. Earlier in the year when we covered lacrosse, it was the same kind of situation, but it was the Roaring Fork High that was hosting. And I just think that's cool. Laney, I wish you could have been with me. I think Sophie was a little nervous to talk to me on the phone. And if I had just had, you know, a younger peer voice, I think it would have opened her up a little bit. But she was real sweet and real excited. And what was neat was she was encouraging any of her peers that had an interest in a sport not offered in her school, go do it. You know, it's kind of scary. You don't know anybody at first. She definitely was telling me of, you know, some of the girls being like, I haven't seen you around school. Like, where did you come from? And she has to kind of explain, well, I don't go here. But now she's got friends, you know, all through the Mid and Down Valley, and as a freshman, no less. So mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah, that is a cool dynamic, and it took me a long time to make friends in Glenwood and Basalt when I was at Roaring Fork Ram, and you know, maybe just for what it's worth, it's not just sports. You know, the Glenwood Springs High School has an awesome DECA program, or at least did, and a mock trial program, and I've known Roaring Fork students to come down to that. For a long time, Roaring Fork was like the top speech program in the area,
oh, wow.
And so a lot of students would come up for that. That exchange is it's a good one. It's a way to make that small school feel a little less small, and to remind yourself that this is a pretty big valley when you put it all together, and you even maybe include Down Valley, which not everybody does, and look at Aspen to Parachute. It's a big community, and it's a big community for the adults and for the kids. There's a lot offered and going on in that range of area without a really long drive. I mean, if you lived in a city, half an hour to Rifle is just not that far, or 45 minutes.
And far less stressful than a half an hour of city driving, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's that for sure. So, I don't know, Lanny, if you feel like you've been, how much have you explored beyond the bounds of Carbondale and the area?
I mean, I'm in a very unique position because my brother just graduated from Aspen High School.
Oh, cool.
But I also go to boarding school, so I don't live here 9 months out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, because I went to Waldorf, know pretty much at least one person in all of the Valley school systems, the public school systems, which is really interesting. Like, a bunch of kids, I know a bunch of kids from CRMS, I know lots of kids from Aspen from my brother, and I know kids from Basalt and Roaring Fork, and it's just, yeah, I think everyone's pretty good about meeting each other.
Yeah, we hope so. We hope that, you know, that Down Valley trash moniker might be going by the wayside, because I got a little sick of it. Real quick, since we got about 5 minutes left here, I'd like to chat just briefly about the Mount Soper Historical Society. We've had Sue in here before. We'd had a chance to kind of talk about what they're going through at the moment. They are not in a position to keep their paid director paid. Their board's kind of on the small side at the moment. They're missing some volunteers, but they're trying to turn it around. It sounds like the museum is going to be open a little bit during the week. So folks who want to check out what their collections, or just you know, talk with somebody who knows a little bit about the local history, we'll have an opportunity to do that. And on Saturday, unfortunately, kind of conflicting, but I think you could do both with the CU film thing. They're pretty close together, so I'm betting you could line it up and hit both. Anyway, they're having an event associated with the garden, the Pioneer Garden, which is kind of an heirloom demonstration, and it's the third location, because it's been at the Third Street Center, and then it was at the Thompson House, which is this beautiful facility, intact with its original contents, but which is unfortunately under repairs and not really tourable at the moment. And then at the cabin and jail out there at the corner of Went and Highway 133, which is, it all comes together, right? Because that's directly across the street from Thompson Park, which is the other story I did this week. So there'll be a lot of potato themed stuff. I'm hoping both of you guys and most of our listeners are aware that this place was a big potato town back in the day. We were sending train loads of potatoes to the East Coast.
I don't think you can go to Bonfire and not realize the potato history in the back room. They've got all the, you know, just odes to potato history.
Well, I mean, that was where they stored the potatoes, so they ought to have, you know.
Right.
They've got the main lift right there. It was, in fact, called the lift for a while. I don't
it
know.
It was. Right? Oh, my gosh. That's why it was called the lift. My mind just imploded a little bit.
Yeah. When they went from Java Joe's and they redid that whole space, they exposed the lift, which had been kind of hidden back there, and embraced it as the name.
I love that.
Names
the more
are fun.
You know.
I didn't know it was ever named that.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're young.
I moved here 5 years ago.
Okay. So, and that's a...
That's about when I left. Yeah.
There you go. But anyway... So the historical, it's a chance to do a bunch of potato themed stuff, learn about potatoes, learn about growing heirlooms, and Sue is sort of a self-proclaimed prepper in the canning end gardening sense instead of in the stockpiling lots and lots of high octane firepower. You know, these are skills that couldn't come in handy someday and are kind of fun to play with as is. And they harken back to this place's agricultural history. And you also have a chance to tour the museum. And I understand that Sarah Yule will have her little space in the old jailhouse, which is this really cute little art studio open at the same time. So a lot going on Saturday. On the corner of Went and 133, and then down at the Third Street Center. It seems like there's always stuff at the Third Street Center.
There is. I mean, I like it because that means I always have access to my office. But
okay, we got about 1 minute left. Should we talk about fire?
Yes. Talk about fire. And while I'm on it, a little bit of breaking news for those in the Satank neighborhood. There was a cottonwood that went down with the high winds this afternoon. Hit a power line. It didn't actually take out any power, but they still have to remove that, which might entail some power outages in the future. So if your power's out, that's what's going on. Don't stress.
Cool. I didn't know that. Thanks, Megan.
Breaking news.
We'll have
to let
Raleigh know. His parents are over in Satank. Also, you know, as hopefully everybody out there knows, it is the height of fire season. It's been hot. It's been dry. We may have some rain coming, but in the meantime, pretty much everywhere around is on a stage one fire ban. That means not smoking, you know, anywhere that's not like an impervious surface, like a parking lot. That means making sure you've got a spark arrestor on your internal combustion engine, whatever that may be. That means, fires only in really established contained things like a metal fire ring at a formal campground, and it means no fireworks. Garfield mm-hmm. County has made a point of a very specific firework ban, and so that's gonna cause a problem for you if you start setting them off. And I know it's coming up on the 4th of July here, and I know that stand is there out by Cattle Creek, and those folks are within their rights to sell the fireworks under the current restrictions. But we just hope that folks will be cognizant of the conditions out there. Megan and I were up on the flat tops watching that big plume of smoke coming up near Walcott.
Such last a pretty weekend. Day, except for that.
Yeah. And we've seen it. I was here for Storm King and for Coal Seam and the Panorama Fire and all the rest, or not all the rest, back to 1990 anyway. And I've seen the devastation at Traverse Lake from 2002, and I don't want it to be 2002 all over again. I want it to be, I'm hoping we can, people can be responsible, and then the rains will come, and we'll move forward.
Absolutely. Hear, hear to that. Oh.
Right.
On that note, it is 4:29, so I think we're about to sign off. Lainey, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Will, thanks for showing me which buttons to push.
Sounds good. Now you got to figure out two more.
All right. And as Megan Tackett signing off on KDNK.